This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Garden Report is powered by PrizePicks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to a special edition of The Garden Report with Noah Dalzell from Celtics Bar. We're going to be doing this every week from here on out. We'll figure out a name as we go. But for now, just another Garden Report. And what else can we talk about this time of year, Noah, with the Celtics locked up by 15, 14 games over the Bucks, other than who's coming up in the first round, who do you want to see, what's the path, where are the standings at. So we're going to do that. Is we're going to do a ton down the stretch here, just three games left against the Knicks, Hornets, Wizards. So nothing really on the court. It's going to be a bunch of rest. It's going to be a bunch of experimenting as we've seen so far. It's standings watch time. So let's get into it. Right now, the seven seed is Miami and Philadelphia in that 7-8 game. They're pretty deadlocked right now, so one of them will have home court invariably down the stretch, probably Miami in that game, and we'll see who wins. It's been split 2-2 this year. You have to think the loser of that game is going to go on to beat the winner of the 9-10 game. Nothing's guaranteed, but it's the Bulls, it's the Hawks, two teams that have been pretty inconsistent to poor all year long. So these are two teams that if they hit their stride in Philadelphia, who now is Joel Embiid back, as well as Miami, who has Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo doing what they do in the playoffs, it's going to be one of those two teams. And it keeps flipping. I keep looking at this reference page every day of like who's going to be in it. And one day it's Philly. It was Philly for a while. And now it's back to Miami with that 25% chance round one. And that's the team we've probably talked about most because you played them in the East Finals last year. You've lost them twice over the last three Eastern Conference Finals you've played them in. So what better way to start the postseason than just get them out of the way, take care of that team that's given you issues for all these years, and show that you're a different team this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit ironic that the Celtics are going to come away with ultimately like the best record in the league by so many games and then potentially be facing Joel Embiid in the first round. We were just seeing, you know, that he has a 78% win rate this year. So effectively, like when he's been available, the 76ers have been pretty close. Yeah, close to Boston, honestly. And so that would be the 1-2 seeds, you know, and right now instead we're looking at that as a potential first round matchup. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's a very difficult series that goes 6 or even 7 games. I expect Boston still wins, but I think that would be kind of the worst case scenario as far as just a matchup standpoint. And then Miami, like they've been this team all year. And I think all of the faith that we have in them as people covering the NBA is just looking at history and looking at how they turned it around last year's playoffs. And so like it wouldn't be stunning if they were able to do it again just because we literally just saw it last year. But ultimately, I don't expect them to because we haven't really seen signs of that. I think we're seeing a Jimmy Butler that's been even less effective than he was last regular season. We're seeing rotations that are changing. You know, it's not the Caleb Martin of last year, so no Gabe Vincent. So I just think there's such a question mark that, you know, I would rather see the Celtics face them in the first round than Joel Embiid. I think that's just a less good basketball team. But both of those are going to be, you know, not easy first round matchups compared to a team like Chicago or Atlanta. So if the Celtics luck out ultimately and end up coming away with one of those games, I think you're seeing a team that they're probably going to sweep or maybe 5 games in comparison.
Yeah, and they win all 3 games, not comfortably, but you handled the Heat this year for the most part. The zone didn't bother you, thanks in large parts to the Kristaps Porzingis addition. You basically figured out how to crack their defense and many of the things that they do, and they've half court offense is so abysmal. Rozier hasn't helped much in that sense. They lost Josh Richardson for the season recently. So it's a different team. And given the expectations that the Celtics have this year, it doesn't matter who you go against. But I think who you go against could help set the tone for a good run. Because let's say it's Philly, and we'll get to them in a second, but I think they're more physically imposing. I think they're going to do more aggressive things defensively. There's just going to be a lot of bodies crashing into each other. Not to say that that's not going to happen in a Miami series, but I think it's going to happen to a greater extent, and there's a greater chance that that series extends. Again, not necessarily not the case in a Heat series. That could go 6-7-2 potentially, but I think that's more likely than not in a Sixers series. If the Celtics came out and smoke the Heat 4-0. Not to say that I'm going to predict that if it comes to that, but nobody would be shocked because it's a different team. You have the Porzingis factor. You've been seamless on offense and defense this year. And the one thing about last year's Celtics Heat series is you had the wear and tear of a 6-game series, a 7-game series coming in on Boston's standpoint. And you also had the Heat gaining all of that momentum up to that point, beating the Bucks round one, beating the Knicks round two, Butler catching the fire he did. Not that he had an amazing series against the Celtics overall, but there were a lot of other factors involved there that I feel like if you were going to play them round one this time around, it's not necessarily going to go the same way for a lot of different reasons. Biggest of them all, that's just not the same Heat team this year. And I'm still going to give them full respect. I still think it's going to be challenging. These are not normal first round series. But I think if you're picking one of those two, you probably lean the Heat just because there'll be a morale boost and it's a very winnable series this time around, in my mind.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point about the power of momentum in the playoffs. And in a way,
Do you feel like if the Celtics and Heat played round one last year, which very easily could have happened because they lost that Hawks game that they could have played into? I know Joe Mazzulla said, if that happened and we would have lost and I would have got fired.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have went the same way. I think it would have been a much different situation.
Well, it's hard to know because if you see Jimmy Butler of the first round against the Celtics, I don't know if it really mattered who they were up against.
The Bucks,
he was playing out of his mind. There have been very few moments in recent basketball history where a player has caught fire like that.
But Giannis went down in that series, and that
changed the Celtics were a couple minutes away from a game 7 against Atlanta.
Right.
So it's not like the Celtics came out on fire in the playoffs, and then by the time they faced the Heat, they lost a lot of their momentum.
They did in those first two games.
The first two games, right.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's a sense of they maybe overlooked that first round, and they probably wouldn't have overlooked Miami as much because of the history there, and it's not the Hawks at the end of the day. But I don't know that they wouldn't have lost in the first round. I don't know what that would have meant. I don't know. Maybe you lose Brown at that point. Maybe much bigger roster changes happen if there's a first round exit after the year that they had.
Certainly,
that season.
Mazzulla's gone.
Mazzulla's definitely gone. And it's funny that he's just straight up said that because I think everybody kind of knows it. But to me, looking at the Miami's a first round matchup this year, it has shades of 2022 Brooklyn Nets. And of teams wanting to avoid these lower seeded teams, like what we're seeing right now in the Western Conference as well. And what a sweep meant to them in that series. I think it actually gave them a lot of confidence to then go and beat Milwaukee, go and beat Miami, and almost win the championship. And I think it could do something similar to them this year to face Miami, to win in 4, win in 5, do it, send a message by doing it really dominantly, and then go on and build off of that going into the playoffs. I think that could actually be an ideal outcome versus a Chicago first round series where you're seeing them maybe not take them super seriously, or maybe there's a letdown, or maybe it's just not that challenging because Chicago's not a good enough basketball team to make it really challenging. So I actually really would love to see a Celtics Heat first round series because ultimately it's not one that should challenge them too much. And I think the upside is there is what it could do to them from a morale kind of confidence standpoint.
Yeah, it would send a message to everyone on the outside, obviously. Oh, they beat the Heat in 4, they beat the Heat in 5. Even if they win it in 6, which would be my guess going into that kind of series, it's still a message that you're getting past because you've been going down to the wire in game 7 with them every time to this point and then losing twice to them with those last 3 East finals. So it'd be a turning point. I'd compare it to the Patriots when they had all those issues with the Ravens over those years. They got past the Ravens in 2014 and then they were on their way to 3 Super Bowls after that. So it's just that one team you got to get past to show that everything's different this time and to do it right away. I think makes a lot of sense, especially against the more vulnerable Heat early in the playoffs. And listen, they have to win their way in too. If they're falling into eight here, they're going to lose to the Sixers. They're going to have to beat that Hawks Bulls thing. And they'll have already played a couple games coming in. And it's that rust versus readiness thing at that point, because they'll have been playing. The Celtics have been sitting around for a while now, not really playing serious games. So that's going to be another interesting thing that makes this just a different first round dynamic here. And I don't know how people feel about the Heat. Are they dangerous this time around? Is there still a threat that, like, you wish for them, you wish for them, you wish for them, and then, oh crap, you're down 3-2 in the game six, and here we go again. I'm not going to rule that out, because you've just against all sense, against all expectations, because I thought the Celtics were going to win that East Finals last year. I said 6-7 games just because of the respect you have to owe them. I think you have to do that again this time around. And even though I feel good about the Celtics in the series, if they're sitting there in game six down 3-2 or down 2-1 through three games, I'm not going to be surprised either. So it's a tough series to say you want this, but you want it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And one of the ironic things with the Heat storyline is that Jrue Holiday also got eliminated by the Heat last year and in pretty dramatic fashion, right? With like Jimmy Butler.
He in a much different role too, though. Yeah.
Right. He had a much different role, but it's like that collective trauma of like, that's who sent you home last year is also present.
That'd be another good storyline.
Yeah, right. It's like not just, yeah, from a media standpoint, there's a lot there to unpack. And so I think that only kind of maybe intensifies that matchup even more, that you have that dynamic as well. Porzingis is really the only one that's walking into this with like a blank slate of, you know, having no baggage and no real rivalry with this team. And I think he's really going to be the key in that series. Like if he's able to play the way that he did in some of those regular season matchups, I feel really good about the Celtics' chances. But at the end of the day, like the thing that makes the Heat is not who they have on the roster or what their firepower is. It's the adjustments that Eric Spoelstra is able to make.
The coaching aspect. Right. Yeah,
and so
huge.
I think from a Joe Mazzulla standpoint too, this could be a good series to get things started, as far as just like, you have to be really, really sharp and you have to be kind of, you know, it's going to be a chess match with him. And we recently heard, you know, OKC's coach, other coaches have been saying, you know, this is one of the best coaches in the league that you have here. And I think that first round matchup is going to be an opportunity to show that. And we really don't know. We've been evaluating the last few weeks, where it's like really hard to know what we're actually looking at and what they're working on versus like what is full effort, for, you know, what is experimentation. So I think just being able to shift to the playoffs as well is going to be just a good adjustment for everyone to kind of take away all the X factors and just play to win, which is what they're going to do. So I like it as a matchup. I don't think it's the easiest one. I think obviously you have to go with Hawks or Bulls. Probably Bulls is the easiest one. And just the format of the play-in, like you really don't know. You know, I think everybody's excited about the potential of like a maybe Milwaukee 76ers, Celtics Heat first round. Like that sells. That's good TV. But who knows? Maybe you get Chicago in there and it's a little bit more of a snooze fest. So I think that's the maybe downside of the play-in a little bit.
Yeah, and they're still putting 20%-ish for the Hawks and Bulls. And they might have the best chance out of the four just because one of them's going to win, and one of them's going to come one game away from playing the Celtics. So you ruled the Hawks out last year, and then they win, and they break through, and the Heat end up moving down to that eight seed in that situation. So similar setup to last year, where a Hawks could sneak through, a Bulls could sneak through, but I'm guessing it's going to be Heat or Sixers at this point. When we're talking Philly, you just brought the coaching up. Nick Nurse is pretty daunting, too. A champion, a defensive wizard, a guy who's just going to throw a lot of different stuff at the Celtics, as much as, if not more, than Spoelstra will. And he has the personnel to play that system too. Long guys like Harris and Embiid in the middle. This is a matchup with Embiid available that bothered the Celtics. Even without Embiid available, I thought Patrick Beverley, when he was there in that game without Embiid, I think, gave the Celtics hell in that game and just had a big scoring night, kept it close down the stretch. Celtics pulled it out in crunch time, but it wasn't easy. And then, of course, they beat the Celtics in one of those two games at Philly early in the season. So they were a different team early on. It's a different personnel the recent years. Tyrese Maxey has emerged. We'll see with him at the helm at the point guard spot how they look this time around. But they have coaching. They have defense. They have a point of attack star who's really hard to guard against your center, who, if we're going to give any criticism to Kristaps Porzingis this year, against those physically imposing centers who can put you in a little foul trouble or just smash you out of the way like Embiid's prone to do, Porzingis had a little trouble with those guys this year in different spots. And that's probably the most daunting of any center matchup you could run into, is an Embiid, and who knows how healthy he is. I saw him tweak that knee again in the game against Detroit last night. Conditioning, yeah. Where's that at? And then the depth around them when he's off the court, I don't believe in a ton. You're going to have like Kyle Lowry playing playoff minutes. You're going to have like D'Anthony Melton, who's good, but is a vulnerable target for the Celtics mismatch hunting offense. So there's some things to feel good about in that matchup, but there's a lot to feel nervous about. The physicality, as I mentioned off the top, Embiid being capable of being the best player in the series. He hasn't been in the playoffs, but he's capable. And then the coaching and the crowd. Like, there's a real home court advantage in Philly, too. So I'd rather avoid Philly. You've had their number over the years, and you might again, but it's going to be really hard for a first-round series to get past this Philly team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, they should ultimately do it. Like, if this is the team that we think that they are, that they should be able to do it.
But seven games, right. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, and then also just thinking about, like, what the toll of, like, Al Horford's going to take, right, in the first round. I mean, granted, he's gotten a lot of rest this year and healing that left big toe sprain. But I think ultimately, like, he's going to be tasked with a lot of Embiid as a defensive responsibility. Like, I don't think we're going to see a ton of Porzingis on him. And so having that be the way you start the playoff run, like, that could be a challenge as well. And to be honest with you, Embiid's looked really, really good. I don't know how much you've caught of him. Like,
I think he's 27-7 through the first three games.
He's looked really good, and you know, and they haven't. I don't think they've lost since he's come back.
Four straight wins. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, he's not going to be 100%, but he definitely wasn't 100% last year either. He might be a better percent than he was when they faced.
I've heard that argument. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, I don't know if we've ever seen him 100% in the playoffs. And so I don't know that this is going to be particularly worse. And then also, like, he kind of does have fresh legs in a way. Like, it's not maybe not the ideal way to get fresh legs, but he has been resting more.
Yep. And training, too, for about a month.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think you're going to be seeing a really dominant Embiid. And the question is, like, is that enough to carry past a team that has so many weapons that the Celtics have? And so, you know, it would be a tough series. And it's a little bit of a bummer because it's like, that's just not a 7 seed. That's a 2 or 3 seed. Like, they have, you know, they have been the best team in the conference outside of Boston when he's on the court. And so it's just, I guess, you know, that's just kind of how it shakes out sometimes. But I think ultimately, like, you know, sometimes Boston fans talk about, like, we've owned Philadelphia. You know, the Celtics were a few minutes away from losing that series in 6 games last year. And sometimes when we talk about sports, I think there's a lot of, like, revisionist history where, like, it is sometimes comes down to a couple of shots. And that's the difference between someone being a champion and someone being a loser. And, like, those are the kinds of things that, like, maybe are hard to remember afterwards. But it could have been a completely different summer for Boston. You know, Jason Tatum didn't get hot those last few minutes. And now we're talking about Philadelphia very different. I think we're actually seeing a much better Philadelphia team this year. With, you know, Tyrese Maxey making the leap that he has, and Batum has been, like, a really great addition and kind of a good connector piece for them as well. Kelly Oubre has been a capable third option at points. You know, he hasn't been completely consistent.
Can score.
Right. And, you know, he gets hot in a playoff series. Like, that's tough. So definitely would not overlook them just from, like, a entertainment standpoint. I think it'd be an awesome series. But
and I think they can beat you. They can.
Yeah.
They can beat you. I wouldn't pick it. I wouldn't predict it. But they're capable, and if the coaching goes right, if the matchups work out in their favor, maybe they catch a few, like, injury breaks there or something, I think they can win that series. So you don't want to put yourself in that position. There's only 3-4 maybe teams that could beat you in a series in the entire NBA. I don't think the Heat are in that camp head-to-head if the Celtics play right. If the Sixers play to their level, they could go 7 games with you, at least 6. So that's a little more dangerous. You don't want to put yourself in that position, even if you're going to win the series no matter what, as you said. You don't want to put yourself through the physicality and wear and tear of that series. You're going to need a lot of Horford there, as you said. So you'd rather just avoid that and get the benefit of the Bucks having to deal with that, because the Bucks are inevitably going to have to deal with whoever wins that 7-8 game, with the Bucks now 1 game over the Knicks with 3 games to play and 2 games over the Magic at this point. Huge win for them over the Celtics last night as we record this. So they're going to get whoever comes out the other side of this, and that's going to be just as challenging of a series for the Bucks. It's amazing how the 7-8 worked out in the East. As far as the 9-10 go, we can just kind of lump them together, I guess. You got the Hawks, who Trae Young, according to reports now, is going to come out back before the playoffs. Jalen Johnson just got healthy. Onyeka Okongwu, I'd have to imagine, will be healthy for the playoffs as well. And this is a team that just beat the Celtics for 2 straight games in an Atlanta miniseries just a week or two ago now. So that's fresh on your mind, along with the 6-game series from last year. Quinn Snyder, another good coach. So fair team to pay attention to, because I feel like they could win 2 games and get through. I don't think the Bulls can, even if they do knock off the Hawks, and they beat the Hawks in 2 out of 3 games during the regular season. Great crunch time team. You got DeMar DeRozan. Kobe White's been amazing. You know, Andre Drummond just went down, so maybe he's not available for this, but they're a good team, a solid team. Yeah, he
after the alley-oop
in a wheelchair, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so, wow, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so I don't know what the injury was exactly, but it didn't look good. So I don't think it's going to be these teams, but we didn't think it was going to be the Hawks last year. Right. So you got to at least acknowledge these teams. And here we go again. If it's Celtics-Hawks round one, looks like it could be a sweet 5-game series, but they've played the Celtics tough. And the Bulls have, but they haven't been able to beat the Celtics. So that's the series. If you want the sweep, if you want the easy series and just blow on a round two, you probably want the Bulls.
Yeah, I think both of those should be easy series in theory. I think the thing that's tough is, like, we're sitting here trying to speculate, but, like, anything can happen at any point.
That's why I'm acknowledging these teams. Right. I don't want to sit here and be like, it's not going
to
be
them. Right, and, and I think a lot of times it's easy to just say, like, and I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, this is an easy 4 games, easy 5 games, but, like, all of a sudden Trae Young turns into Trae Young that took them to the conference finals, and it's like, who knows, right?
He's a drop defense buster, too.
Right, or, you know, what if, you don't know who's going to get hurt, knock on wood, but, like, there's just so many variables that it's part of why I think the whole idea that the Celtics are like such heavy favorites this year has been so premature, because so much has to go right to win a championship, right? Like, you have to stay healthy, you have to get good matchups, like, you there's so many things that have to go right, and that also includes, like, each series is really difficult. Like, these are NBA teams. Like, I know the players say this oftentimes when they drop a game to the Hornets, is like, these are, we're playing NBA players, like, they're very good, they're capable of being really good, and now we're talking about teams that, you know, are not the worst teams in the league, and they've had maybe their fair share of injuries. Like, the Hawks have had plenty of injuries this year, but you know, I wouldn't overlook any opponent. But that being said, like, the Celtics have been so consistent this year that I don't anticipate a letdown the way that we saw.
That's the key, right?
Because yeah.
I know Joe was talking about a little bit after the Bucks game, the lessons, and it's great to go through this. And that's what he's going to say if they have more trouble than they should in a first-round series. If it's Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, and they've had this, what, plus 12 differential all year. They're just smoking everybody. They're 15 games up in the standings. You want to see a little bit of that in the playoffs, especially since they're not a great crunch time team and they're going to have some issues in those spots probably. You don't want it to suddenly get tight and scary and 6-7 games in round one. And I know Joe's going to say, oh, it's awesome, we have to go through this, great experience, ready us for the next round. You would just love to see, and he was talking about this a little bit on the radio too, like, you can't figure out what your outcome's going to be. Teams win championships different ways, sort of how you talked about. You'd love to see them look like that dominant team at some point in the playoffs, and better early than later, because it's just not going to happen later. You're going to have tougher competition, teams that have been through some stuff. You want to see them look like that dominant team at some point, and first round's the time to do it. You got to set a tone. So it might get tight. It might be tough. Like you said, these are all good teams that are in front of them here, but if it's Atlanta or Chicago, I want to see them sweep them. Just get it out of the way. You're that much better than these teams. And the fact that they lost twice in Atlanta, that's what made that so disappointing a week or two ago.
I don't think that meant anything, honestly. Like, I don't
nothing.
Think, I mean, maybe it gave Atlanta
the first
confidence.
Game, you blow a 30-point lead, whatever. The second game, you're wire to wire the whole way with them, neck and neck, and then you lose in crunch time pretty decisively, which was tough, and then overtime.
But to me, on the flip side, it's like, now you can't overlook them the same way, because you know, right. You literally just dropped 2 games and there was this whole narrative around you, and so you're not going to think that it's a cakewalk the way that maybe you would have if they were 2 blowouts that were really easy wins. So that's on the flip side, but I think ultimately, like, you look, you know, I like what Joe was saying on the radio as far as, like, the different pathways to get to the finals. I mean, we've seen the 2008 Celtics. Like, that was a 7-game first-round series, right?
Was that Doc, like, though? Did being Doc?
Maybe. But they won the championship, right? And they won the championship pretty handily, right? Yeah. So it's hard to even know how, like, the first round is going to impact the play the rest of the way, because maybe that was a blessing. I've heard Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett talk about that playoff run many times, and I feel like there's a case to be made. Maybe you're already playing, you know, high intensity basketball because so much is on the line, and then you have to overcome that adversity early on, versus maybe you sweep your first 3 rounds and now you're playing Denver, and Denver had a really tough path to get here, and now you're in a really tough matchup that maybe mentally you weren't ready for. Like, you've been not in those environments the same way that the Western Conference opponent has. So much of it is conjecture at this point. You know, I think you kind of have to just see which cards you're dealt and figure it out accordingly, and you know, there's been so many different kinds of runs, and, like, you kind of want maybe a legendary run where you play Miami and you play Philadelphia and you play these tough teams, versus, like, it could also play out that they're playing the Cavs and the Hawks, right? And you know, who's to say like which of those pathways sets them up better for a final series? But I don't think you can necessarily say just the easier one is the better one to make it out of, because ultimately, like, the whoever comes out of the West is going to be a very good basketball team.
Who did Denver play last year?
Minnesota, Phoenix,
LA, and then the Heat.
Right. I mean,
so they got some breaks.
I mean, that's as underwhelming as a four series as can go, as far as you played two play-in teams, right? That was, you know, that's the level of regular season competition that you're facing. You know, a Suns team that was their hardest series, but what, you know, they were not a super dominant team. So to me, it's like that was an easier playoff run in theory, right? They're probably going to have a harder path this year, regardless of how things shake out,
I'd say.
So,
So you look at the game 7-2, you going that far into a series. The thing you hate to see is what happened then last year. You go to a game 7, you're there, then everybody gets hurt, especially Tatum on the first play, and Rob was sick and Grant's hurt. So that can happen too as these series extend. So that's why you do want to see them take care of business a little bit sooner. We're, of course, brought to you by great partners like PrizePicks, prizepicks.com/SteelNS. Go check them. They're official daily fantasy sports partner. So shout out to them.
PrizePicks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get out of the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. PrizePicks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on PrizePicks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. PrizePicks.
And shout out to the Maine Celtics, who are one game away from a G League championship. Noah's been up there covering for Celtics blog. Game one, pretty electric, blowout fashion, a little less tense than the East Finals, which was close for three quarters and then a blowout for the fourth. But this Maine team just looks like a real team playing against G League teams, which are just, you know, your 3 2-way guys and then just kind of some guys thrown together. And they're probably going to sweep this series, I'd say, it looks like.
Yeah, this is an epic G League team. Like, I think anybody that has not been watching, if you're bored with the last stretch here of the Celtics series, like, this is a good time to tune in. Because you ultimately have a team that's composed exactly like the Celtics in the sense of, Drew Peterson talked about this post-game last night. Everybody plays their role. Everybody plays, kind of excels in their role, whether it's Jordan Walsh being a 3-and-D guy, whether it's Kata coming in and being an offensive rebounding machine, whether it's JD Davison, who plays like this like really brilliant floor general role. Everybody knows their role and they're willing to excel in it, and they're not worried about their individual stats if they have to sacrifice. A lot of the same themes you hear with Boston, where they have a pretty loaded roster. It's just a little bit more difficult to get that buy-in when you're talking about a G League championship and you're talking about guys that are staying in a hotel in Portland who are looking to make it into the NBA, right? So it's like even more impressive to me that they've had that buy-in. But yeah, this is a team that defensively has looked just so menacing, especially with Kata protecting the rim. And I think he had maybe a little extra juice yesterday, fresh off of signing that standard deal with the Celtics. But yeah, they're super impressive to watch. They have so many guys that can go off any given night. Like, it's similar to the Celtics in that way, where they have, you know, Drew Peterson, who can go off. DJ Stewart pretty much won them those two games, you know, the two postseason games to get to the finals. He was just absolutely electric in those fourth quarters. I think he had 15 points in one and then 19 in the next. Struggled last night, but he kind of earned the right to do so. So
I've liked him this year, yeah.
Yeah, he's
been
awesome.
They liked him on camp, too. He stayed in the late stages of camp. I wouldn't be stunned if they signed him to that third two-way deal.
Me neither,
It would make a lot of sense after they signed Kate, as you mentioned. And I think that's the question everybody's going to have out of this run. Championship, great, not, you know, a nice run, but have they done something this year that they did 2 years ago, which is develop two guys into rotation players for the Celtics? They did it with Hauser and Cornette. Now you're doing it with Kata and Walsh, let's say, because Davison's been good. Doesn't seem like he has a pathway to a role with the Boston Celtics eventually, just because of the amount of point guards in Boston. Peterson, we'll see down the line here. But for Kata, who they just signed to a standard contract, and Walsh, who is already signed to a rookie deal, have you seen enough from those guys to think like they could be rotation guys in Boston within the next year or two here? Because obviously you're still going to have one of Cornett or Tillman. That's like an underrated story that they're both free agents. And then Hauser's back for another year after this, so he's due a payday at some point too. Are you starting to see Kaita take the steps toward being that backup center eventually? Are you starting to see Walsh potentially be that backup wing down the line here? Because I think that's what people care about most.
Yeah. Kaita's going to work out in the NBA. I think he just looks like an NBA player. And, you know, he had his fair share of highs and lows with the Celtics this year. I think generally he looked good, and at times maybe a little bit out of sync defensively, just as far as really knowing the system. So I think he's going to benefit from just having more time with his team, the same way that Luke Cornett has over the last few years. Jordan Walsh, to me, probably needs a little bit more time. When I watch him, I don't look at a guy who's NBA ready as far as like right now to be able to contribute to a championship level team, even in a limited role. I think he's still pretty raw. Like his shot's much improved and his decision making is a little bit better.
The numbers aren't amazing for a 20-year-old in a big physical league, yes, but not like you're going to go to Boston and make an impact. And you've seen it. Right. He's played a couple of stints in the NBA and it looks a little vast and physical for him.
He's electric though. But I think honestly, what you said about Davison is kind of stands out to me the most, because he's been the best player on the court in almost every game that I've seen.
It feels like he's ready to go.
He's ready.
A role elsewhere.
Right. And so I'm just curious, like, I don't know what that means for his time with Boston. But he didn't look phenomenal in summer league. I thought his decision making
not phenomenal.
What?
No, normally we say people are phenomenal here on the show, but we've never heard people say they're not phenomenal.
No, he did not look, but I think he you know, maybe a little bit of a disappointing summer league compared to like maybe what some people expected.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Yeah, but this year in with this main team, and just particularly these last few weeks in the playoffs, he just looks like he's playing at a different level than all of the other guards on the court. And I'm talking defensively. He was guarding, you know, Jacob Gilliard the other day. He looked awesome defensively on him. I'm talking just setting up his teammates. He's making everybody look like they know exactly what they're doing and where they are at all times. He's picking and choosing his spots. Like, some shades of Peyton Pritchard out there to me as far as just being like a really good, trustworthy decision maker.
Got to shoot, though.
Yeah, he's not a bad shooter. I don't know what his numbers are right now for 3-point percentage, but he's been hitting them at a pretty from the eye test. Actually, I haven't looked it up.
He's clearly better. Yeah, it's tough because you're behind White, Holiday, who you think you're gonna keep here at least for another year.
Yeah,
Pritchard and Springer now. So he's in a tough position. The team isn't though. They are in a decisive position to win the G League championship. So congrats to them. This is our first edition of Garn Report with Bobby and Noah, I guess, is just what we'll call it for now.
I'll workshop some names.
Let us know if you have any ideas. And that's it for us here on this edition, the first edition of this show. We are also brought to you by PXG, which I happen to have right here. Hold on, let's see if I can reach this.
Do you want me to get it?
We got these great hats for the golf course. I actually just went out and golfed for the first time this season in my PXG set, which looks a little different from this one. I got the all white ones, but this one's a cool teal color with the gray cap. You can see the nice breathable holes on the backside too, for when you're, you know, walking through on a nice, cool, or even hot summer day, which is coming up. And the outerwear, great too. Polos, you got stuff for men, you got stuff for women in here as well. This polo was a great fit, nice, comfortable material as well. And I love this color too. I could actually use one of these, but check it out. Whether you're golfing, whether you're just using it for, you know, some summer leisure wear, it's all good stuff. So check them out at pxg.com/garden. Go there to get a special offer, pxg.com/garden, and support the Garn Report, as well as CLNS as well. Thanks to Noah for being here. Noah Dalzell from Celtics Blog. Check her out there. She'll be up in Maine for game 3 of the main
Hopefully
series.
Not. If Hopefully there's one. No reason for me to go back to Maine.
But otherwise, she'll be covering the rest of that series, as well as the rest of the Celtics season here on the Garn Report, as well as over at Celtics Blog, our great partners over there. So check them out, CelticsBlog.com, CLNSmedia.com for more coverage. Celtics Knicks post-game show going live on Thursday, so join us after that show. And again, check out our sponsors, pxg.com/garden, as well as prizepicks.com/CLNS. I'm Bobby Manning. This has been the Garn Report. Hey, Bobby Manning here with Noah Dalzell. If you made it this far, you must have enjoyed our video. So for more content, check out and subscribe to our channel, as well as our social media platforms at CelticsCLNS, Instagram, X, all the rest. Check us out there.